St. Paul's Baptist Church in Montclair. But we have today someone who's not a stranger to us, a frequent participant in our worship service, a member sometime in absentia, Reverend Charles Levi Martin. He's a founder and pastor of the Unity Fellowship Baptist Church in Willingboro. Brother Martin is someone who loves the Lord. He is excited, on fire. He is a servant leader. He serves in many capacities. He served as chair, president of the NAACP. He's organized his own radio station. Wherever there is a voice to be heard, he will bring a message. It's my pleasure to present to you someone who actually needs no introduction, the Reverend Charles Levi Martin.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I am always grateful for the opportunity to be at Shiloh. Amen. I thank God for your pastor. I thank God for the marvelous ministry that is done in this community. Your outreach, your vision. Your vision beyond the boundaries of the United States of America. Your outreach to the continent that I'm from. The continent of Africa. The Western region that we hear so much about today. And Liberia in particular. I am just grateful to be here because I know of the partnership between Shiloh and Providence Baptist Church, the church in which or wherein I was baptized and came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. The church where at 17 I gave my first sermon. The oldest church in the Republic of Liberia, started by a former slave from Virginia who was superintendent of the farms of cotton there in Virginia, Lock Carey, who became our first governor, who became a leader in that nation. I thank God for you, and I just pray that you pray for me this morning as I bring the word of God to you. There's something that's been on my mind. I heard it the other day. It says, if I lose my life, I'll find again. I will soar on eagle's wings, and then ever cease from war, rest in Jesus' arms. For the Lord, he's good. My soul is safe from it's the Lord that gives, heard the prophet say. I will bless his name though he takes away. I will trust, not fear, not to be alarmed, for the Lord, he's good. My soul is safe from harm. I'm safe in the eye of the storm. There's calm, for the Lord, he's good. My soul is saved from harm. And when the tear doth swell and my strength has gone, I will still believe when his name I call.
would rescue me, for dusk turns to dawn. For the Lord, He's good. My soul is saved from harm. I'm saved, I'm saved in the eye of the storm that comes. For the Lord, He's good. My soul is saved from
Shall we pray? Father, we turn to you even now in this hour. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, heavenly dove, and fill this place. Speak, Lord, that we will hear. Prepare the hearts of your people, O God, to receive the word that you have given your servant for such a time as this. Hide me, O God, behind your cross, that you and only you we will see even now and hear. In Jesus' name, let us say amen.
Amen.
This morning, I'd like to ask you to turn with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, the first chapter and the 7th verse. You can stand, amen. Let us all stand if we're going to stand, amen. All able-bodied, let us stand for this very short passage. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God had not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. For God had not given us the spirit of fear, but of what? Power and of? And of a sound mind. Turn to your neighbor, look him in the hand, put your Bible down, hold somebody's hand, look them in the eye.
Neighbor.
And tell them, panic proof. Panic proof.
Panic proof.
In alarming times.
Alarming
time. I'm panic proof.
Panic-proof.
In alarming times.
Alarming
time. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You may be seated in the presence of the Spirit of the living God. Panic proof. Amen. In alarming times. Hallelujah. This epistle, written by Paul, the Billy Graham of his time, to his protege, the son in the ministry, Timothy, comes at a particular ominous and treacherous time in the life of Paul. This letter to Timothy is called a prison epistle because it was written at a time when the apostle was imprisoned for the cause of Christ. There is an all indication that Paul the Apostle was incarcerated in the dungeon in the city of Rome. Biblical historical traditions tells us that that was a maritime dungeon located just across the street from the old Senate building in Rome in the Roman Forum. It is still visible and visited today. In that particular cell, it is circular, and it is entered by some descending steps, and there is a hole even in the roof that provides light. That is all that it has that provides light. beside the river. This place is dank and dark and cold and dreary. And this was very likely where the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to Timothy, his dear son in the faith. The literary content of the letter reflects those circumstances. What are the circumstances? Paul is alone and lonely. His words vividly express his nostalgia. He says, "I long night and day to see you." He is feeling abandoned. He writes, "All those in Asia have turned against me. Luke is no longer with me. Only Luke is with me. Demas has forsaken me and gone to Thessalonica." The Bible tells us that he is cold of body. He asks Timothy to bring the cloak which he left in Taurus. He is bored in the long hours with little to do. He asks for the books and the parchments which he left behind in Troas. He is certain that the end of his life is at hand, because Nero is gone Charles Manson on Christians. He's feeding Christians to the lions in the hippodromes and the Colosseum. He's lighting them up as torches to provide light for his guests that he entertained. For Paul, his demise is certain. His death is imminent. The time of his departure is at hand. He writes, "I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." There is, and clearly these words anticipate that he had reached the end of his journey. Yet despite the impending doom, the letter opens with Paul's panic proof in alarming times. He begins his letter in a way that is cool and calm and confident in his expression of faith and grace in God. He writes, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of the life which is given in Christ. To Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord." In the midst of his overwhelming bewilderment and sinister condition, Paul takes the time to reflect and remember Timothy's family root and the root of Timothy's faith, and encourages Timothy to stir up the gifts of God manifested and imparted in him and on him at the time of his conversion. And thereby calls him to steadfastness. He says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." This morning God has called me to preach this message, that we will find the strength to be panic proof in alarming times. The most dreadful and alarming word that can be uttered today in America, in Europe, in Asia, in South America, and there I say in Africa or any part of the globe, the most alarming word that can be uttered is the word Ebola. Yes, it strikes fear and trepidation in the hearts of men, women, and children worldwide. And rightly so. It should be. It is a deadly, ferocious, and insidious fire from the pits of hell that has infected more than 8,000 lives in Western Africa and has consumed more than 5,000 lives. And it is ravishing the West African region like a demonic consuming fire. And for now, there is no end in sight. 30 days ago, this diabolical virus was of no real concern to millions in America, Europe, and other parts of the world. It was only a West African nightmare. In fact, even in Liberia, where the infection is most infested, several months ago, a member of our own Liberian legislature publicly denied the existence of the Ebola virus in Liberia, contending it was only a ploy by the Liberian government to
extract monies from foreign donors and governments. This reckless utterance only served to exacerbate an already desperately imploding situation. Because many did not believe Ebola was real, precautionary measures were not taken. And the urgency and immediacy that was necessary and warranted to deal with this demonic suction tube was ignored and delayed. Innocent lives were lost unnecessarily. Families dropped dead like flies. Villages reduced to remnants. Orphan children increased in mountain numbers. And a nation with a less than adequate and almost non-existent medical healthcare system and doctors, there was no room or beds or medicine for the infected. Graves could not be dug fast enough. And bodies lied in the street for days. And the world kept turning and going about its normal activities with no thought at that time to the thousands of black African lives being lost and buried at an alarming rate. It was as if these lives meant nothing. They were invisible, and the band played on. It was not until a white missionary medical doctor, Kent Brantley, and his associate were infected while providing health care to patients in Liberia and contracted Ebola virus that I began to see all over the internet pray for Kent. It was not until these white missionaries got infected that CNN began to talk about the Ebola in hours and hours. It was not until then. And the other networks began to talk about it. I thank God for the work of Samaritan Purse and that of Dr. Brantley and his associates. They were doing a dangerous job. They placed themselves in harm's way. They placed themselves in the lion's den. B.B. Winer writes, what kind of love is this that plays itself in harm's way? I thank God for the courageous and valiant work. But they, not the thousands of Africans who had died, they became the faces of Ebola. Not the thousands of Africans whose lives had been lost. It was not until their lives hung in balance that we learned for the first time of something called ZMAP, an experimental drug for Ebola surface. Until their lives became threatened, nobody knew or heard of ZMAP. And one of the things that puzzles me is that two white missionaries were threatened, their lives were hung in balance, and even when they took the Z-map, they only took two. One for Ken and one for his associate. And pondering, I wonder how come they have this experimental drug and they only got two. Thousands of African lives are being lost daily. Only two samples and nothing more. Two white missionaries sick. Only two samples. And they get to live and tell the story. Thank God they survived, but I'm puzzled that they had just enough for the two white missionaries. When Thomas Eric Duncan came to America, he was achieving a lifelong dream. Now, many of you may not be cognizant or aware of what I'm saying when I say a lifelong dream. There are thousands of Africans who, because of their situation, dream to come to America. Life dream. Brother Harris can attest to it. He's been to Africa. He's been to Liberia. He's been to Ghana. I think he's been to South Africa too. And because of the kind of conditions sometimes we are subjected to, it becomes an aspiration. If only I can get to America, I'll make
a change. I'll be able to lift my family. I'll be able to lift myself. I'll be able to lift up my people and make a difference and help them who are still behind. Eric Duncan wanted to do that. The story is told that he helped take care of a pregnant woman who it seemed was having a miscarriage. He took her from one hospital to another in a cab. From one plane, desperately helping, trying to find a way to help her live, and there was no room in the inn. She was taken back to die. And it wasn't long before he stood at the Robbers International Airport and got his temperature tested. And he seemed all right. And then he came to America. We know the story. A few days later, he began to feel ill, and then he goes to the hospital. And he tells them, I'm from Africa. I'm from Liberia, giving them all indication, all clarity. Listen, listen, I could be infected. I need help. Look at this situation. Help! Help! They give him antibiotics and send him home. There's something wrong with that. Some of you don't even realize that it's not just Africans who are treated by way by the medical system in America. The poor are treated the same way. The uneducated are treated the same way. The illiterate are treated the same way. Aliens are treated the same way. People who have no clout are treated the same way. We're not given the same opportunity to live and to live a healthy life like the rest of the other people in this great country. And so he was not given the same opportunity as the white missionaries sent home. And even when he came back to the hospital days later, they still did not use any experimental drug. They watch him languish. And when death was certain, then they provided some. Some people in the African community are beginning to look at this from a different standpoint. And what they're saying is they wanted him to die so that other Africans won't be able to think that because they have any kind of sickness, any disease, they can run to America and get care. They were making an example. I'm just saying, that's what I hear out there. Today in America, there is a great fear, trepidation has arrested us all over the place. In fact, members in the House of Legislature and Senate are saying, let's put a lockdown on West Africa. That's what they're saying. Let's quarantine all of them. Let's put a lockdown. Nobody going in and nobody coming out. Let's lock them down until this thing is clear. But in the meantime, folks are dying. I thank God for this president called Obama, who's willing to send 4,000 men out there in Africa to make a difference and to find a way to make a difference that we will live. God knew what he was doing when he took the son of an African to make him president of these United States. He knew he would have him there for such a time as this. God bless Obama. I'm going to say some things today that's going to even put me in jeopardy of going to my own country because some things I got to say. I couldn't understand when America would do everything it can to bring its own people here and give them the best treatment. One of our own sons come over not knowing he's infected. And then our own president, our own leader will say, while the man is on his dying bed, we're going to prosecute him. There's something wrong with that. Lack of love and lack of compassion. Man was not treated right in his life and he's still not treated right in his death. My goodness. There's panic everywhere. They want a lockdown on West Africa and throw away the key until the virus subsides and is under control. Airlines have panicked and call up flights to Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Guinea. Shipping companies have for the most part cut off their route to the areas or are making skeleton runs. Many expatriates have fled. Cruise ships are being turned away from Belize and other places. Train cars are being cleared when African accents are heard. Liberian children and other African children are being bullied in school. Students from Africa, even Nigeria, that have been declared Ebola-free are being refused admission in colleges in Texas. Whispers under the breath by fearmongers towards Africans are being hurled. There is a growing call for Africans to go home. And many Africans caught up in America who were on vacation and medical visit or business trips are trapped here in America and cannot return home for fear. But those who have come from West Africa in the last few months, many families, loved ones, and friends won't shake their hands, won't hug them, won't come close. They want to know, have you been here for 21 days? That is the question. I understand the need for caution. That makes sense. And the need for preventive and safety measure for oneself and family, even one's nation and people. But we must not allow the virus to cause us to lose our humanity. We must not allow it to cause us to lose our love and our joy and our compassion for our fellow human beings. We cannot allow it to cause us to lose our souls. God has given us a spirit of discernment, of good judgment. There is a healthy fear and there is an unhealthy fear. We must learn to know the difference. An unhealthy fear is when we become irrational and ostracize an entire race and nation or people because of a fear. An unhealthy fear is the fear that paralyzes and leaves one immobilized and impotent. It is a delirious panic that puts the mind and members of the body itself, amen, in a paralytic state that leaves one immobilized and paralyzed. This kind of fear is an enemy. Paul is right. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The spirit of Yahweh, Jehovah Jireh, who is in us, is not the spirit of fear. I do not know any statement in Paul's writing that is more practical and more important to us than that. Because if you are like me, you are oppressed sometimes and assaulted by a spirit of fear sometimes or most of the times for folks who are depressed. There's anxiety and worry and trembling about what is going to happen tomorrow. A sense of terrible disaster looming, of chaos and crisis that is about to break upon us. There are forms of fear that is the spirit of fear. The Bible declares men's hearts shall come and for fear. Men's heart shall fail them. I submit to you that fear is not of God. It is the enemy. It is the enemy who has come to kill, to steal, to plunder, to rob, and to destroy. God has come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. I come to say to you, why worry when you can pray? Stop the worrying. Because worry is the interest you pay on something that hasn't even happened. Did it ever occur to you that Christians are forbidden to fear? How many times in the scriptures do we read that Jesus said, fear not. Fear not. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe in me. Fear not. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I, thy God, will strengthen you.
I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with my right hand of righteousness. Fear not. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request known unto the Lord. David writes, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Matthew says, therefore I say unto you, take no thoughts for life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not life more important than meat, and the body than raiment? Hallelujah. Timothy says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. David writes, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. John says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Peter says, casting all my cares upon him, for he careth for me. David writes, yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Isaiah says, so to them that are of fearful heart, be strong. Be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. God with a recompense. He will come and he surely will. Surely will he will save you. John says in the 14th chapter, the 27th verse, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Proverbs says, heaven is in the heart of man, making it stop. But a good word maketh it glad. Luke says, and he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for your body, what ye shall put on. Fear not. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take care of itself. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wheresoever thou goest. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he will lift thee and carry thee through. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. God wants us to walk by faith, not by sight. God says that we ought to walk and live and move by faith. For fear is not of God. He that feareth knoweth not God. For God is a God that we hold our faith in. People can decide whether they will walk by faith or live in fear. I love what David said. He said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemy and the foe came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Hallelujah. Somebody's worried. The word of God said, cast your bread upon the water. You shall find it after many days. Paul writes to the Romans. He says, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? David writes one of the most profound psalms. Psalm 91. Hear the word. He says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare and the fowler and from the noisome pestilence.
He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flyeth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. For those of you who are afraid of Ebola, hear the word of God. It says, a thousand shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. I love what David says. He says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Fear not. Become panic proof even in these troublesome times, knowing that God has promised, I'll be with you always. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. In the time of trouble, he shall hide thee in his pavilion. In the secret place, he shall hide thee. Moses said to the children of Israel, even when the death angel came, he says, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. We're covered with the blood. So do not be afraid. Don't let fear take you in the wrong direction. And stop it when it starts going that way. God does not give us a spirit of fear. If we have such things coming from another source, the enemy, it is the enemy who wants to bring fear. But God wants to give you joy. Joy unspeakable, full of his spirit. The joy of the Lord, that is your strength. When the Spirit of God has given us, first of all, it is giving us power. Come on, somebody. Paul says, he's given us power. Turn to your neighbor and say, I got power. Power. Dunamis power. Power that the enemy can't overcome. Power that sickness has to bow to. Power that everything will fall. Because there is power in the name of Jesus. The Bible says there is no name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, but the name of Jesus. For at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that he is. He is, he is, he is Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Paul says, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can conquer us who are covered with his blood. No panic, no fear. No fear, no fear. I trust in the Lord and he heard me. I was sick and he brought me out. I was broke, put money in my pocket. I was hungry, put food on my table. Couldn't have a child. I called on the Lord and he gave me a child. Didn't have a job. The Lord made a way. Out of nowhere, why be afraid when God is alive? He's alive for you and for me. Trust in me and don't doubt. Why do I have to trust in him? Because he's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's a way out of nowhere. In my trouble, he's a burden bearer. In my sickness, he's a doctor. In the courtroom, he's a lawyer. When I'm hungry, he is bread. When I'm thirsty, living water. When I can't make it, he lifts me up from the muck and the mire and the horrible pit. I got too much faith to have fear. I'm going to walk with Jesus. I'm going to stand in his power. Stand. 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 He said, if my people that I call, by my name, what's his name? Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Day Spring from on high. What's his name? His name is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. What's his name? Mary's baby, Joseph's son, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Everlasting Father. Who is he? What's his name?
Jesus.
What's his name?
Jesus.
What's his name?
Jesus.
Say his name.
Jesus.
Say his name.
Jesus.
Say his name.
Jesus.
There's healing in the name of
Jesus.
There's delivering in the name of
Jesus.
There's fullness in the name of
Jesus.
Joy unspeakable.
Jesus.
Life everlasting. So whatever try to intimidate you, whatever try to make you depressed and despair, let them know that I have Christ in me, the hope of glory. Let them know that Jesus is a rock in a weary land. Let him know that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Don't be afraid. Walk by faith. Talk by faith. Call those things that are not as though they are. Make it manifest through the word of God. Be panic proof. Panic proof. Panic proof. In alarming times. Let us pray. Ah, oh, mama. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Ah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. The Bible is replete. Replete from Genesis to Revelation of who he is. In Genesis, he is God the Creator. In Exodus, he's the Redeemer. Leviticus, our sanctification. Numbers, he's our guide. Deuteronomy, he's our teacher. Joshua, the mighty conqueror. Judges, give victory over the enemies. And Ruth, he's your kinsman, your lover, your redeemer. In 1 Samuel, he's the root of Jesse. In 2 Samuel, he's the son of David. In 2 Kings, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In 1 and 2 Chronicles, he's your intercessor and high priest. In Ezra, he's your temple, your house of worship. In Nehemiah, he's your mighty wall protecting you from enemies. In Esther, he stands in the gap to deliver you from the enemies. In Job, he's the arbitrator who not only understands your struggle, but has the power to do something about it. In Psalms, he's your song, your reason to sing. In Proverbs, he's your wisdom, helping you to make sense of life. And life is successful. In Ecclesiastes, he's your purpose, delivering you from vanity. In the Song of Solomon, he's your lover, your rose, your Sharon. In Isaiah, he's the mighty conqueror. Jeremiah, he's the balm in Gilead that makes the wounded whole. In Lamentation, he's the ever faithful one upon whom you can depend. In Ezekiel, he's your wheel in the middle of the wheel. I could go on to Revelation, but where you're standing now, he's speaking to you. Bow your heads with me. Father, we thank you that you cast out fear. Nothing is too hard for you. Lord, we come against any phobia, for fear is not of God. Help us to walk by faith and not by sight. Father, if anyone here, oh God, has been having a difficulty with fear, I don't know what the fear is. I want you to lift your hand because God's going to release you from it right now. And if you have any kind of fear, I don't care what it is, fear of the rent, fear of the mortgage. Hallelujah. We have a God who is able above all things. Father, each individual who's lifted up his or her hand, we ask, oh God, that you touch right now through your divine spirit. Meet every need, cast out every fear. Lord, if someone even needs a divine touch in their spirit right now and in their healing, Lord, do it. Do it, Lord Jesus. Do it right now. Help us, oh God, to walk by faith and not by sight. In Jesus' name. Maybe somebody here been looking for a church. If you've been looking for a church, I just want you to remain standing where you are. Just remain standing. Everybody else, be seated. If you need a church home, this is the place. This is Shiloh. Will you come, my brother? Will you come? Is there another? Is there another? Give God the praise. Give God the praise. This is Shiloh. Hallelujah. God is looking for men. He's looking for women. He's looking for those who will dedicate themselves, who will surrender to him. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Oh, hallelujah. I believe there is another. In the name of Jesus, I believe there is another. Hallelujah. Everybody just bow your head. Hallelujah. 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 Speak, Holy Spirit. Speak, heavenly dove. Don't be afraid of these people in here. They're your lovers. They love you. They're praying for you that you will just join the kingdom of the Father. I believe you're here. I believe you're here. Just slip your hand up. I'll come and pray with you. Oh, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. The Bible says if there's just one like we have today, the angels rejoice in heaven. We praise God. That the preaching is not in vain, but it's power unto salvation. For we carry this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for whom you've brought. Bless us all. In Jesus' name, amen.